It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And Bill, I asked you if it was the first Tuesday of the month, and you said it was, but it isn't.
I was placating you. I decided to placate you.
Don't placate
it's
me.
Not the, it's
I'd like someone else to placate
it's
me.
It's obviously not the first Tuesday of the month, but I didn't want you to look bad, so I fell on the grenade.
That is not what you did. But so thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for
he
falling.
He just likes saying placate.
Placate.
Well, Mike McNamara is here from the Midwest Independent Film Festival, and you are always here like clockwork.
Clockwork.
The first Tuesday of every month, but there was a busy Tuesday.
We had not one busy Tuesday, but two, and I've always been adamant that no matter what, we never move the first
show
Tuesdays.
Must go on.
The show must go right. I'm an actor.
You're
I'm
showman.
A theater guy. The show must go on no matter what, first Tuesday. And then this Cubs team started playing pretty well.
Yes.
And,
yeah. Yeah. New club. And I got an email a few weeks out saying, so what are you going to do if Game 6 of the World Series has, you know, if the Cubs are in the World
and
Series,
that was
Game
Anthony
6
Rizzo.
That night?
He sent a note. Very curious.
Right.
Because we won't play. Anthony Rizzo said we won't play.
FaceTimed
and we don't want to get in the way. Yeah,
right, right. And I was like, go ahead and play the game.
Right.
At that point, I think they were down 2-1 to the Giants. So I was like, easy. You know, we'll cross that bridge. Then we come to it. And then... clearly,
we came to it.
So we said, you know, once every 108 years, we'll move the fest. And then, of course, the next week was the election.
There was an election?
There
oh,
was.
Yeah, Wendy, yeah.
I heard.
It was in the paper.
Voted.
It was in
I
the
heard
paper.
Tammy Duckworth won. Is
oh,
what
she did
I heard.
Win.
Yeah,
right,
so that was the big one. We didn't want to get in Tammy's way. So we moved it 1 week to tonight, the 15th. And it's a huge night. It's our 8th annual. This is our advertising community shorts night. And you think, well, what's that all about? Well, as we tried to keep expanding the independent film community here in Chicago in the Midwest, we kept looking around and see, well, how can we keep expanding this? And we said, well, hang on. We have one of the most vibrant, successful, amazing advertising communities in the country.
Easily.
Here in Chicago and in the whole Midwest.
Right.
So we said, well, what if we dedicated a night to all those side projects, those short films, those music videos, those quick little super, you know, web series that commercial creatives work on when they're not working on commercials.
Right.
Love
so
it.
It's become this awesome, really high-level, exciting, funny, dramatic, everything shorts program. And we get together some of the best creatives from Leo Burnett, BBDO, DDB, to make the decisions on which films make it in. And tonight is our 8th annual. We're very nearly sold out. And I brought a couple of the filmmakers with me tonight that'll be premiering their films. I've got Brad Bischoff right here. And I've got Lisa Masur.
Hi, guys. How are you? Thanks for coming up.
Hey, how's it going?
So your regular jobs when you're not making short films are what exactly?
Directing and editing commercials. I'm a staff at McGarry Bowen Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the executive producer at Wanted Optimus, a production company here in Chicago.
Excellent. Right around the corner.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is.
Wow. So aren't you busy enough doing your creativity during the day that you don't have time to make little things on the side?
Somewhat, yes. Luckily, I'm not an actual maker. I just push everyone else to make
all
things.
All right.
Yeah. But creativity outside of work is always good, and so
it
I've
is.
Always pushed our directors to kind of do fun projects that their heart is in outside of advertising.
In a lot of ways, a TV commercial has most of the elements of a very short film. I mean, mm-hmm. It's still a narrative. It's still storytelling. Everything that you'd be putting into a film is being put into a TV commercial.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? And it's kind of like, you know, storytelling, you know, in general is just, I mean, I can't turn it off. And so if there's a way to, I mean, do that as a living in the commercial industry, I was kind of hesitant at first, but then once I sort of got in the doors there,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I've just had such an incredible time, and it's just the people you meet and who are willing to help you on these projects, because, you know, I think that if there's one person like me there who wants to make a film after hours, I know there's at least two or three others who are willing to help you out, so it kind of makes it a little more easier.
That's pretty great, actually, because you'd think it'd be super competitive, and no, I'm not going to help you, but no.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no,
it's,
a lot of people, because it's kind of like, okay, let's do the best job we can on this project, but then afterwards it's kind of like there's a creative fulfillment inside that is you know, sort of uneasy. Like there's more that you want to do that's maybe not for a client, you know, that's not like a specific brand in mind. So it's kind of like everybody wants to keep fulfilling that desire.
Some people in the advertising industry have used it as kind of a stepping stone to get into television and films, right? That happens from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like Spike Jonze and you know, some of my favorite filmmakers started out doing commercials and music videos, transitioned to feature films almost like later on. You know, so I kind of like Michel Gondry's another one. I just look up to these guys a lot.
Settlemyer too, right?
Yeah.
He's done all right for himself. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it easier to make films now just with the iPhone and everything? I know people have made productions from using their small camera on an iPhone. It's easier, isn't it? To put a good story
exactly
out there.
What I was going to say is like the technology has made, there's almost no excuse now not to make a film. I think the real issue though is finding a quality story to tell. You know, like it's such an oversaturated market, and the other half of the battle is getting your film seen. And I think there's so many people who are focused on like, oh my God, let's just go make something and make something. And, you know, you maybe aren't putting the right amount of time into writing a script and, you know, making sure that what you're doing is worth it. And, you know, you don't want to just keep it. I always relate it to like putting out mixtapes as opposed to like, you know, sitting down, which there's, you know, there's something to that. But, you know, it's kind of like when you want to sit down and put out an album, it's kind of like, you know.
So, Brad, if there was a girl you liked and wanted to impress her, you'd make her a little film, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Good move. Good move.
A Billy Ocean mixtape.
Queen. Now we're talking. All right, we'll come back and discuss this further. It's the Midwest Independent Film Festival. It's going on tonight, not 2 weeks ago, not 1 week ago, but tonight. The best way, Mike, for them to get tickets is what?
We got a few left. Just go to midwestfilm.org, and you'll actually see the full lineup. We're showing 18 short films tonight. A lot of them are world premieres. Your first chance to see them anywhere, and just go to midwestfilm.org.
Excellent. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN, along with Mike McNamara of the Midwest Independent Film Fest, which is tonight. It's usually the first Tuesday of every month, not this time around. There were other pressing matters, so it's tonight instead. Two of the filmmakers featured tonight, Lisa Masur is here and Brad Bischoff is here. Brad has a film called Lady of the House. Lisa has a film called Optimus. Would it be fair to say these films are slightly different in tone? That's fair, right?
That is fair. And also, Lisa's production company is called Optimus.
Oh, it is. I'm sorry.
The name of the film is no other way to say it.
Oh, sorry,
I think I screwed that up.
Close enough.
But it's a hilarious comedy that, amazingly enough, takes place in a voiceover booth, very similar to our delightful setting right here.
Well, Wendy and I watched a bit of it this morning, and it's as accurate could be. I know not everybody has had the experience of doing a voiceover, but for those of us who've had, you nailed the experience. Start
try to
finish.
Sound more excited when you are talking to them right now. Will you do that?
I'll try one more time. Ready? For somebody who's done it, boy, is it an experience. How's that?
That is
better?
So how it is.
I lay low, a little smaller. But really, the criticism that one would get while in the booth over just, sometimes you'll just have a voiceover that's just one word where you just go, wow, and then people will be critiquing that and go,
oh, yeah.
Sound younger, sound older, sound fatter, sound thinner.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would like to believe that it's exaggeration, but it's not.
It's not.
It is exactly true, and I think for people who are in the industry, they view it one way and realize that it is true to life. Other people think it is more of an exaggeration, but sadly, those
either
of
way,
us
it's
the
funny.
Outside, no.
Mm-hmm.
So, what happened that you said I need to take this experience that I'm used to and make it into a film? What happened there?
So, to be fair, I'm one of the executive producers on the project. The director, Tim Mason, is who came up with the idea. He is a writer on the creative side in advertising and creative director, and as well as a director. And so he had this idea. He has a group that he works with called the Hog Butchers, who are improvisers. And this was really born out of them kind of wanting to do something on the side. And Tim had the genuine idea, and I think his improvisers had essentially worked on something like this previously on stage.
Yeah.
So they kind of came in. We have a studio over at One, and we said, all right, come on over. We'll get some cameras and let's do it. And honestly, it came out so much better than I could have ever even imagined.
It's very funny.
No Other Way to Say It is the name of it.
Yes.
And this is the kind of film that Advertising Community Shorts Night at the Midwest Independent Film Festival is all about. You have people that are working on commercials 70 hours a week. And like Lisa said, they said, well, we got a studio. All right. Well, I've kind of got a script. Well, we've got some really good improvisers. All right. Well, just come over. Let's take a weekend and let's shoot it and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so we're thrilled to have the festival premiere for that one tonight.
And Brad, then, yours, Lady of the House. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah. So the film stars my sister-in-law, Karina, who's an opera singer, and she became a stay-at-home mother maybe like 6 years ago now. So she has two kids and kind of put this part of her life to the side. And I was inspired to make it because I recently became a father 2 years ago.
Changes everything, doesn't it?
It changes everything. And just to see you know, this, you know, because filmmaking is my passion. You know, I ultimately want to make feature films, and it's just like to be able to deal with being a father, and more importantly, watching my partner become a mother, because she has all these hopes and dreams and life desires, but like it all gets put to the side momentarily to take care of and love this child. And I wanted to explore that, the traditional dynamics of motherhood. And I don't know, you know, it's like that was the, and I went on vacation out west where she lives and convinced my partner Midea to spend a day. It was all shot in one day, very docu-style, just following her and her life, and that's her life. And we sort of added this sort of like last narrative shot where it's just her, you know, I don't want to give it away.
Yeah,
whoever's listening, but
the final moment
very
is
cinematic
incredible.
Ending. Yeah, it's the only shot that we lit. Everything else is,
really?
Is natural light. Everything else is real, you know, raw locations, just going out and just following her in her day.
Fred, when you first thought of this idea, was it the initial intent to do it all in one day, or did it occur to you later on?
It was. So we shot it all in one day, all on one lens, and we just wanted it to feel... it's funny when you bring up, like, iPhones and shooting on iPhones, you know, it was like I even considered that just to... Because it does something aesthetically when you're watching it. It feels kind of like a modern home movie. But ultimately, I did want more of a cinematic feel to it, so we had, you know, a really nice camera rental, and but we just picked one lens, so there would be no lens swapping on the day,
yeah.
And just we'd just be there with her the whole time. Yeah.
What does it do to both of you? You're used to seeing your work on a standard television size screen, and now tonight you're seeing it on a wide screen. How does that change the whole game for you guys?
Well, it's nice because we normally don't get that opportunity,
yeah.
number one. So I think it brings a lot more people out, and there's a shared experience as opposed to commercials and a lot of the branded content stuff that we put out that is only on the internet or on TV. Sitting in a theater with other people and hearing how they react and feeling that feeling in the theater, there's nothing like it.
I always relate it to sports. Like, I feel like tonight's like we're going to the stadium, you know? Like,
yeah.
We have a real game, you know? And like, it's like exhibition
game time.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's the game time. Yeah.
And it will be packed tonight. We'll have 300 people there, jam packed. And it is a reminder to everybody to keep going to theaters. Netflix,
sure.
YouTube. We all want to watch it on the little phones and on our TVs. There's something to be said for that packed house, 300 people, especially with these two films tonight.
Yeah.
Very funny, very emotional. There's just something when that communal experience and all that energy kind of wells up, and that's what's going down tonight at Landmark Century Center Cinema.
Awesome. I was just telling you off the air, I don't get to see movies very much. I just really don't go to movies. But these are the types of things that, I don't know, they're more emotional, they have more meaning, and they're more personal than a big blockbuster hit. So I'm all for this. And one day I'll make it out there, Mike.
2017.
It's on tape, Mike.
That is my mission for 2017. I'm on the record. It's on tape.
It'll happen.
Good luck to
It'll
you guys.
Happen.
Thank you so
one
much.
More time. For tickets, Mike, what do they want
to
do?
Just head to MidwestFilm.org. We've only got a few left till we're completely sold out. And you can also take a shot if you want to come to the door at 2828 North Clark, Landmark Century Center Cinema. Tonight, Advertising Community Shorts Night. It's going to be awesome.
Lisa, thanks. Brad, thanks. Mike, thanks.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you very much.
A quick break, then some news. Bill and Wendy, WGN.